理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in advanced classes as we continue our journey down to the Antarctica via New Zealand.Welcome to our class today as we discuss the gateway to Antarctica, and it's almost Chinese New Year. Some of you might want to hurry and get down there, although the tickets might already be booked. This is Doris Brome, Peng Menghui, and we're glad you can be here to discuss this advanced article with us. Troy, it's nice to be together with you. Mm-hmm. Today, sometimes we're doing different things, but today...we were able to get together. Let's get a feel for this article.
Yes. Well, yesterday we looked at, it's called The Gateway to Antarctica, and we found out that a gateway is actually like a door. It's something, you enter through it. So if you want to get to Antarctica, you can go to New Zealand first and fly there, or just go to Christchurch in New Zealand and experience Antarctica there.
As I mentioned, to have the discussion with us yesterday and also today,It's the person who wrote the article, Melissa Tan, who is from England, but she's on the staff here of Advance and Studio Classroom. Melissa, you enjoy writing, don't you?
I do, especially articles like this. I think it's very interesting.
And it's even more fun when you've been there and you were able to travel down there to see New Zealand.
Yes, I was. I was able to go with our other editor, Adele Boysen, and so we had a very great time.
Well, let me ask you, Melissa, since you were in Christchurch, which is the place where we would find this International Antarctic Center, is it an intriguing place itself?
It is, actually. I really enjoyed it because it's very much like England. I think
a lot of New Zealand is like
England, but Christchurch especially. I found some streets that actually I could totally imagine that they were just taken out from London or something.
Yeah. Wow. That's right. I was able to visit there, too. And, you know, I felt that Auckland, New Zealand, which is in the Northern Island, New Zealand has these two different islands. Mm-hmm.And the northern one has Auckland, and that's where a lot of people go and a lot of Chinese friends down there. But that reminded me a lot of Seattle. There's lots of boats and sailboats and the beach.
Yes.
And it just seemed like Seattle, really. Seattle used to be before it was so popular with so many people moving there, you know. But when I went down to Christchurch, I felt like I was in England, too, because it seemed so British down there.
And in fact, if you head further down from Christchurch, you hit some other cities that looked like Scotland because they had a lot of Scottish immigrants over there.
Really?
They brought the same feel, the same buildings.
So, Troy, you better travel down there sometime with your family.
Well, certainly. I don't think I could afford to go to Antarctica itself because that would cost $5,000 to book a cruise there. So maybe I can spend less money on the trip, go to Christchurch, and have the Antarctica experience.
And I think your wife and children would probably enjoy going to New Zealand more because they wouldn't have all those clothes for that cold place down there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I come from Michigan in the United States, and it gets very cold there in the winter. In fact, we have a lot of what they call lake effect snow. Michigan is surrounded by the five Great Lakes.
That's true. It is too cold back there.
And so I am accustomed to a lot of snow and a lot of cold weather, but I prefer something a little warmer.
Then you just go to New Zealand and go to this place. That would be fun. But it is the gateway to Antarctica, and Antarctica is a very intriguing place, very mysterious. And I guess most people, when they think of Antarctica, they think of penguins and seals and these animals that live in those cold places, don't they?
That's right. But as we said yesterday, even people who think of polar bears, they would be wrong because polar bears are from the North Pole.
Let's keep the polar bears out of this, Melissa.
Right.
They do not belong here, right?
That's right.
But this would be a very interesting place to go. And if you want to go down to New Zealand, you can see so many things. But you might want to have an Antarctica experience. You say, well, if you look at the map here on page 22, you say, there's New Zealand, and Antarctica is so far down below that. And so it's expensive, difficult to go to, so I'll probably never see it. But you could have a true Antarctic experience, couldn't you?
You certainly could. You could get a feel for Antarctica there in Christchurch at the International Antarctic Center. And it's actually a joint effort among governments within the world who've decided to work together, and in their cooperation, they built this international center.
So if you're not planning to go anyplace else, Chinese New Year holidays, you might want to go down there if you can still get a ticket. But let's read our article today. Let's take the first half on page 23, A True Antarctic Experience.
A True Antarctic Experience. With the majority of staff members having lived or worked in Antarctica, this center boasts an unparalleled presentation of what it's really like. The team of guides and teachers are ready to take visitors through the center, astounding you with unbelievable facts and figures about Antarctica, as well as sharing their own experience of living there. Interactive displays educate visitors on the wildlife, environment, and history of the continent. There is also much information on the politics surrounding Antarctica and the Antarctic Treaty, signed by 12 countries agreeing to work together on research and protection of the fragility of this place.
A very unusual thing about this center is the fact that most of the staff members have either lived or worked in Antarctica. I think that's quite unusual, don't you, Troy?
I do. I think it's always important to find people who know what they're talking about. So these people are not just summer workers, people who come in to get a job and then they leave and they, you know, they go back to school or some other place. But these people have lived there and they also have worked in the Antarctica on that continent itself.
Well, and Melissa says here that this center boasts, or they're very proud of the fact that they have an unparalleled presentation of what it's really like. And that means something that is really better or greater than anything else. You cannot find anything just like it. Did you feel like it was really an unparalleled presentation?
I really did. I think the tour guide that took us around, I think she spent many months over there.
Hmm.
And I think their policy at the center is that if you haven't been there, you cannot be qualified to talk about the place, to share about it. So I think they require many of their staff, the ones who have to share with people experiences, that they actually go there to have the experience themselves so that they can come back and have, you know, share authentically.
Do they have a very big team or staff there?
I don't think it's that many, just a very core group, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they take people through the center, and they could astonish you with these unbelievable facts and figures about Antarctica. It says here, you will just be surprised. You will be astounded. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. That simply means to make someone very surprised, shocked, or to feel admiration. Sometimes we might say, wow, that person just astounds me with their knowledge.
Did you feel that way then as you talked to them and you asked them a lot of questions?
Yes, I think it made me go and just gasp in shock, in admiration, as you said. Yeah.
So that would be good to have guides. You know, sometimes you'll ask somebody about some place and say, well, I don't know, and they look it up in a book, and it's not very interesting. But you really want people that have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big help.
Because I think there are other questions that maybe aren't related to facts, but they're more related to your personal experience.
What it feels like.
Yes, what it feels like.
How it felt just to be standing there amongst all these other scientists, knowing that this is a place with so much history, so much interesting history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says they take you through the center and everything, and I guess, you know, how do you get taken through the center? Do you walk through it or what?
Yes, you do. It's just like a museum.
I see. Mm-hmm. But what do you have these funny-looking little cars here for in the picture then?
Ah, well, I think we'll find out about that later. That's actually around the main, I don't know, it's around the outside, actually. You travel around that on the outside.
Of the main center.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Hmm. Okay, well, in this first part of our lesson today, we're going to talk more about the interactive displays that educate people on the wildlife, the environment, and the history. Now, we did talk a little bit about that yesterday, that this museum had interactive things.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like a museum like that.
I do too. In fact, we've even used the word interactive to talk about computer software. It just means that you can interact, you can communicate with it, touch it, feel it, see it, perhaps in a way that is different from other displays. Some displays are just static. You know, you see it, it's there, it doesn't move, you really can't touch it. Maybe there's a sign that says, don't touch. But these interactive displays or the interactive museum there at the center allows you to participate in the experience.
And you can have questions and get answers. I like interactive websites, sometimes the educational ones, and you take a test and see if you did all right or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or interactive newscasts when they'll say, what do you think about this? And then you can see the public opinion. And if you put your vote in, it makes it one more for that. So interactive things are always a lot more interesting, and they're more educational, I think.
That's right.
Don't
mm-hmm.
you, Troy?
I do. And so here we read that the interactive displays educate visitors on, first, they said, the wildlife. And I think yesterday we read that there are penguins, seals, and whales to be found in a place like this. Now, they don't actually have a whale, though, at the center.
No, they don't. And they don't have a penguin or a seal, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. They don't need to have them there. They need to be down there with the Arctic. But, you know, it does say here that there's this information about it and the politics surrounding this. Because for a while, all these adventurers or explorers in the early 1900 time went down there. And they were going to kind of conquer it for their countries and put their flags up and things like that. But then they started finding out that they might pollute it, and it wasn't working well, not working together. So what happened then?
Well, obviously it was a place that no one country owned. So I think they decided they needed to come up with a treaty, an agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
A contract by the different countries who were willing at the time, and at the time there were only 12, that were willing to work together to do research, and only scientific. I think they did not want any military research. Mm. They did not want military bases to be on there. It was purely a peaceful contract, peaceful research that had to be done. And so there were 12 countries at the time. They signed an agreement, a contract, called the Antarctic Treaty, and that was in 1959, actually.
Hmm.
So that was, you know, quite recent as far as history is concerned, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here that they did this because they wanted to protect the fragility of this place.
Hmm.
And something that is fragile is very easily destroyed or broken or damaged. And we know the whole environment nowadays is quite fragile, isn't it, Troy?
It is. And so it's important that we can work together with other countries to preserve the environment and find ways to protect its fragility. Sometimes you will see labeled on boxes, fragile, handle carefully. Sometimes when you go through an airport, you'll see a sign marked fragile on the side of someone's suitcase or a box. So that means we need to handle it or treat it carefully.
Well, I wonder, though, when it's down there, it's all ice and, you know, these ice mountains and icebergs and all. What would be fragile about a place like that? Why would they have to worry about this place being fragile? It doesn't sound like a fragile place.
Well, I think because it is that cold, the place needs to stay that cold for that, the animals, if there are plants on there, for those to actually be living. If they increase the temperature or even decrease it, they may die.
So well, how could they increase it or decrease it, though?
You could build things, right? If you had buildings and just generally people living there, I think we bring up the temperature of a place just by being in a place.
Heating it and
that's
everything
right.
like that.
Yes.
And definitely polluting, right? We want to keep the ice as white, as pure as possible. If you're bringing in people, you have to build anything that heats, anything that uses up energy will have pollution, will have dirt.
Yes, and so we need to protect the environment of the Antarctic. I mentioned yesterday 90% of the world's ice is found on this one continent, and it's the most pure source of water that exists anywhere on the planet, so we need to preserve it. Now, get this. This is an interesting fact. If it were to melt, because the temperature were to go too high, it would fill the oceans, raise the level of the oceans by 70 meters.
Hmm. Wow. I guess
a lot of countries would go under the water.
They would go underwater.
Right. Well, it is fragile. And also, you know, just the whole environment for these animals that you find down there, too. we find that actually when man goes into the jungles or the different places in the world, that they often pollute it, and the animals disappear and the whole environment changes. So it would change a lot of things in the world if we didn't keep this fragile environment.
Exactly.
So I guess you probably find out, did you get more of a feel for that as you walked through there?
Yes, I think there was actually a very good display just about this treaty. It took up a really big area of the museum, and it just told you all about it. It told you all the different countries and everything. So,
so that was very educational.
I came back learning a lot more than I knew before I went, that's for sure.
So you would encourage people that going down to New Zealand to stop by this place.
Definitely.
It's very easy to get to. It's right near the airport
in
Christchurch.
Yes.
So put it on your schedule, your program, if you're going to go there. Well, let's read more about snowstorms and snowmobiles, because it sounds like a cold place.
Snowstorms and snowmobiles. But your visit to the center need not only be an educational experience. One fun thing to do is to have the snow and ice experience. You can experience a snowstorm in a room with fake snow, icy winds blowing through, and even an ice slope to slide down. But what has become the most popular attraction is a tour around the facilities on an actual snowmobile known as a Hogland. The Hogland is a 16-seat amphibious vehicle used by the U.S. and New Zealand research teams around Antarctica. During the ride, your tour guide will show you just how versatile and indispensable this snowmobile is. Driving you through deep water and up and down extremely steep mud slopes made to simulate snow slopes. And at the end of the tour, you are even presented with a certificate as a souvenir of your experience. So if you are traveling in New Zealand, consider spending some time in Christchurch at the International Antarctic Center. You'll be surprised just how much you can learn and experience about this icy continent in temperate New Zealand.
So you can actually have an educational experience. You can read all these things, but you can have a snow and ice experience. And people that come from places where the climate is warmer, like Singapore and Hong Kong and Taiwan and southern parts of China, well, I think they would kind of think it would be fun to experience the snow, but you might not find it when you get to Christchurch, depending on what time of year you went down there, right?
That's right.
It's kind of summer right now if you go
now. Oh, yes. It's very hot right now.
Very hot right now. So how can you get all that? How can you experience? Did you do that?
I did. It's actually a room, and they have fake snow. They have, what I said, an ice slope to slide down, and if you press a button, the wind will start blowing very, very fast.
Did you slide down there?
I did. This is definitely the fun part of the museum. I'm not sure if it was very educational. It was just fun.
And I think that's something they want to do. They don't want it to be just a place where it's only about education. And while the educational aspect or part of the adventure is interactive, on the other hand, you know, when you have children, there are times when they just want to play and have fun.
You probably want to slide down that yourself, Troy, if you were there, that ice slope.
It would be worth an experience, yes.
Right. And everybody, can you take pictures when you're doing it, too?
Yes, you can. It's actually got glass around the room, so all your friends and your family can watch as you go in.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes.
My goodness. Well, but this has become, you know, a big attraction and so forth. But this one thing that is a snowmobile known as the Hogland, and it's a 16-seat amphibious vehicle. Now, you might not know what an amphibious vehicle is.
Amphibious 就是两栖的, 具有双重性的, 而文中的意思是水陆两用的。
Okay, so the Hogland is simply, it's like a snowmobile and it's amphibious. And so it can go in the water as well as on land. It's capable of doing both. 16 people can climb inside of this. And I understand that the ride departs every 20 minutes from in front of the attraction. And the ride is about 15 minutes in length.
That's right. You go around the entire facilities, and occasionally, I think, if the scientists will allow it, you can even, they'll drive you through the private parts, the parts where the real scientists are doing their real research.
It's interesting that the Hogland is also known as a snowmobile. And this one here, the name Hogland, is a Swedish name because it was made by, it was imported from Sweden. And I actually found out it cost $500,000. I believe we're talking U.S. dollars. This
well,
is a very
big.
Expensive
How many
machine.
People can ride on it? 16 people.
And so they actually own two at the center.
Well, I guess if you're down there, you know, in Antarctica, you have to be able to have enough power to go quite a distance with those, and they have to be able to go through deep water.
And
you
actually
might get a chance to do that, it says here.
Yes, you might even have a chance to do that. Interestingly enough, this amphibious vehicle does not have traditional wheels. It has a track.
Mm-hmm.
And so the research team will drive this around in the area to give you an experience of what it might be like to be in Antarctica itself.
That's right. They've actually built a fake track area using mud, not snow, of course, because it would just melt. But using the mud, you can get the feel, and there's some slopes, so they try to cross the slopes, you know, so you're at one point you're actually in midair, but you have the, you know, your front wheels, the front part of the snowmobile, and the back part are still on the ground. And so that's how sturdy it is, how stable it is.
So
it can just go straight through.
So we read on page 23 in column 2 that it is very versatile and indispensable. So what do you just mentioned for us that it's actually very versatile. I think the British say versatile.
That's right, versatile.
Okay, but it's very
American
versatile.
American English here, Troy, versatile, please.
Okay. Versatile. So it has many different uses or functions. It can go on land, in the water, through the mud, or over snow.
You know, it reminds me of some of the military vehicles that we've seen sometimes, you know, in films and things, too. They're very versatile. They have to have these kind of tanks and things that can go in the water, and I guess they're that same principle.
That's right. We might even say they're a multiple function.
Right.
And because of that, they're indispensable.
Mm-hmm.
They save people's lives, I think, in that environment there, and where you never know what the land will be like, whether it will be dangerous or not. If people need to be saved in a faraway place where you need to go through slopes and everything, you need something like this just to save their life and bring them back.
Okay, so it is indispensable, isn't it?
Well, it also says that they show you this. They made steep mud slopes. They're not real ones that you'd find down there, but they try to simulate these snow slopes. And they have places, for instance, when you're learning to fly airplanes, you go into simulators, or when you're going to go into outer space, you go through a simulator. This means it will be like the thing that you're going to do, so it's just like it. It simulates it.
Mm-hmm, that's right. It gives you the experience. Your sensations or your senses experience this, but in actual fact, you're not there.
And that helps you prepare for it better. Well, at the end of the tour, you can get a certificate. This is a souvenir of your experience. Did you get a certificate?
Yes, I did, actually. It was very
fun. You did? Oh, we should have put a picture of your certificate in there. Maybe we'll put it on the website. Who knows?
Okay.
You know? Don't forget to check our website, too, because we have interesting information on our websites, too. But if you happen to be traveling in New Zealand, be sure that you consider spending some time in Christchurch at this International Antarctic Center, because you'll learn a lot and you can find out more about what it's like in Antarctica.
Yes, and I also found that it's open 365 days a year.
Wow.
So
anytime, even Chinese New Year, it'll be open.
Sure.
That's Although right. most of you may not be there then, if you get a chance to go down there, try it. So let's have our today's skit.
Well, Ted, we didn't have the $10,000 to get to Antarctica, but we've got the next best thing, the Antarctic Center in New Zealand.
Way cool. I feel like I'm totally at the South Pole.
Well, yes, that is cool, at the South Pole. But wait until you see the special room that simulates a real Antarctic blizzard.
That is so cool how they do that. Like, can you imagine going inside to experience a bodacious, blinding blizzard?
Yes, pretty cool indeed. And the staff, most of them have actually lived in Antarctica.
Whoa, those dudes are the coolest. Like, there's probably a sign down there that says, no sissies allowed.
Well, there just might be, Ted. And not only are they cool, but they know their stuff. For example, they might tell you that Antarctica is the coldest, windiest, highest, driest, and iciest continent on Earth.
Now that is extremely cool trivia.
And as a matter of fact, they just figured out how many polar bears live in Antarctica.
Way cool fact. So tell me, Rich, how many polar bears do live in Antarctica?
Zero, Ted. They all live at the North Pole.
Cool.
So the main points about today's article can be found on page 23, and it's called Today's Highlights.
To experience Antarctica, try New Zealand's International Antarctica Center. A ride on the Hogland snowmobile is a must-do.
So I hope you all have an opportunity to do this must-do thing. We often have a must-do list. This is something that I really should do. So put it on a must-do, I have to do it list, and maybe you can get somebody to go with you. It would be more fun. And you had Adele with you, didn't you?
That's right. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you'd recommend this then?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks for writing such an interesting article and for being with us as we discussed it today in our advanced program.
And I think there's something else that maybe you must do, and that is to come back with us again and join us right here on your advanced program studio classroom.
Right. We like to have an opportunity to discuss things that are going on, and we're going to talk about e-learning next time, and we have some other good things in our January magazine. So be with us for the program and read the magazine. And remember to share these things with your friends and go out and buy your ticket right now for New Zealand. Okay, we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.